This is Rob Saylor, Director of the Lilly Endowment Clergy Renewal Programs at Christian Theological Seminary. In our podcast series, we'll be sitting down with folks who have been friends of the program, who have benefited from the programs, or who have wisdom to share for congregations and pastors who are seeking renewal opportunities. We are very much looking forward to hearing their insights and are very glad that you've joined us for this conversation series. Today we'll be talking with Reverend Philip James, pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, who will be sharing his insights about churches thinking about applying for the programs. Hello, friends. This is Rob Saylor, director of the Lilly Endowment Clergy Renewal Programs here at Christian Theological Seminary. And we are pleased today to be able to have a conversation with the Reverend Philip James. Philip is the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church here in Indianapolis and has been a longtime friend and advocate of the programs. And we're really grateful to have a chance to hear more from him, both about what he did on his renewal leave and then also any wisdom he has to share for those who are thinking about this opportunity. Philip, welcome.
Thank you, Rob. It's so good to connect with you once again, and good to see you, and thank you for this opportunity again to share.
So, Philip, a few years ago, you and your congregation undertook a renewal leave journey. I wonder if you could describe a little bit about what led to that, and then what you actually did on your renewal leave.
I have been pastoring since 1989 and had come to Indianapolis Mount Zion Baptist Church in 1998. And at the time, it was around 2007, I had heard about the Lilly Grant and approached the deacons and leadership. But they didn't feel we were ready. We had been through leading a traditional African-American Baptist church through leadership transformation. And so it was a little rocky there in the beginning. It wasn't until 2 years later, 2010, I felt that the waters were smooth enough and we were healthy enough to take a sabbatical leave. And so from that point, with their saying it's okay to go, my wife and I formulated a committee of about 11 people in the church to begin to help us explore what a sabbatical might look like for us. The key question for me was what makes my heart sing. And as I reflected on times of coming along, growing up, and what was refreshing, what was renewing for me was to be around the waters, beach waters, and nature. Those things really awakened me. So I thought that we would want to be in and around nature. I liked history. And so we wanted to do some things around history, historic sites. And so that helped to begin to formulate our renewal time. With that and the committee working with us, we decided on a European tour by coach, which would take us along the scenic routes of various thoroughways to London and Paris, then Switzerland. And I recall just looking at the mountains, the water falling from the mountains and all of that scenery and nature, and that was great. And then we traveled to Rome or Italy, and then from in Italy we went to Florence and Venice and Rome. And so those are the historic sites, which was just great to see the Colosseum and the different sites there. That was very, very, very invigorating for my spirit and refreshing for my soul. We also, in terms of nature, took a Amish tour through from Indiana, through Ohio, up toward the Sandusky, Ohio area, stopping at various Amish country villages and just taking in how they're close to land and living off off the land, which was very refreshing. And then we went to Niagara Falls, which was not too far from that, from Sandusky area, and just beheld the great falls and all of nature there. for the children who my daughter was about to enter her last year of high school, and my son his first year of high school. So we took them on a Bahamian cruise. And then we did, my wife and I took a trip by ourselves to Hilton Head, again, historic area, Savannah, Georgia area. That was very scenic for us. We saw the first African Baptist church and was able to tour that city. And so that was good for us to spend some time, quality time together. And then my brother and I did a trip to Antigua, which was the birthplace of my grandmother, and just reconnecting. Neither one of us had been, in fact, no one from our immediate family had been there, except when my father was very young. And so it was great to go there, discover some history about our family that we did not know. So all of that was just a great, refreshing experience, renewing experience. One of the things I usually share and say is when we were on that Caribbean cruise, my children told me, "Dad, we have never heard you laugh like you have laughed." I had to really reflect on that. And the deal is that as a pastor, you work at such an intense level that it becomes your norm. And so you think you're engaged, you think you're present, but I guess what they were telling me is they had never felt me more present than I was during this leave. And that was a priceless thing for me, such that I always remember and hear them expressing that.
One of the things that really strikes me about what you're describing is the level of self-knowledge that went into your planning of these different activities. That is, you knew what it is that really speaks to you, whether that's being by the water or being out in nature or rootedness in history. And I think that's really a model for people who are thinking about these, how to construct these leaves. It really begins with a kind of self-knowledge. What is it that refreshes you? What is it that speaks not to someone else, or what ought to refresh a pastor, but what really does refresh a pastor and a family in this case, right?
Absolutely. I concur with that wholeheartedly, because you could then go down different tangents, which never really speak to that which truly refreshes you and brings you joy and is life-giving. And helps you to focus on totally disconnecting from the church and ministry, in a sense. That's what that did to me. And I do know I was really, truly refreshed, excited about the connections that we made with our family roots. And there was a 20-year church that we had, again, it was the first church we served in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And we were able to go back and visit that congregation and to see how they had come along. They were a church plant. I was the second pastor. And so I had not seen how they had developed, because I had moved on before they had built the building and those kind of things. So it was wonderful to be embraced by those who remembered us. And they met our children. It was just an awesome, energy-filling experience.
I've been struck by the number of applications where it really is a tying together of past, present, and future, right? People wanting to go back to places or to engage with people or congregations that have been meaningful, all as a way of giving refreshment in the present with an eye towards the future.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell me what it was like for the congregation. You know, you mentioned that this originally they said, okay, the timing's not quite right, but then they got to the point to where you agreed upon the timing. How was the experience for them? What did they get out of it?
Well, it was good. The church is a historic church from 1869 when it was developed and came into being. And so the whole history piece was something that they embraced. We were coming up on a major church anniversary. We celebrated every 5 years. And so that was coming up. So they had that in mind. They did some fellowship type meals, like a salad fellowship, where members brought salads together and fellowship. And they went bowling together. They went on walks together in nature. So in some ways, they followed what I was doing, but from where they were. Like in the send-off theme was Italy. And so the meal was Italian. And then they had Italian decorations or different decorations that reflected places in Italy. So it was, so, and they really bonded together. It was a time where the lay people and the lay leadership had to kind of roll without a pastor for 3 months. So it gave them some ability to develop their leadership skills and their, it brought them closer together, I would say.
Yeah, well, and what you're saying about, you know, the pastor being away is an occasion for other people in the congregation to step up and perhaps discover capacities that they might not have known that they had. I mean, that's a significant thing, I think.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So it gives them an opportunity to step up. It gives them an opportunity to know, hey, we can do this. And so it helps know that ministry is a partnership. And I think one of the issues for Mount Zion, being as old as it was, there was a period of time where the pastor was the central. Everything revolved around the pastor. And when you get to doing a sabbatical, you're able to see, hey, you know, we need to engage in ministry that flows with the vision of the church, even though the pastor is not present. And I think that's a healthy kind of development.
That's a good segue into the last thing I want to ask you. I imagine we have people listening to these podcasts. Some are congregations that they know want to pursue this opportunity and they're thinking about how best to go about it. Others are not sure and they're sort of in the discernment mode. Is this right for us? What advice or counsel would you give for congregations or pastors who are thinking about this opportunity? What ought they to have in mind?
Well, I believe when you have a healthy church and a healthy pastor, that combination leads to a healthy community when the pastor is, when pastor and church are doing that kingdom building work as we're called to do in scripture. And to know that the pastor's time with the congregation is often more giving to members of the church, church families, and all of the needs from administration to sermons and Bible studies and visitations, funerals, and there's a lot of emotional toll that happens to a pastor that members might not see, who only see the pastor maybe once a week, maybe twice a week. And there is the disconnect from family. As I mentioned earlier, my children, you know, I'm thinking I'm present, but you know, you can be present, but your mind can be divided in so many different places that your family recognizes that. And so when a congregation is thinking about a renewal experience for the pastor, for the church, it can only, if both are healthy, it can be a real good foundational piece to launch the church into a greater sense of ministry when the reconnection happens. So if they think from that perspective and what kind of gift they can give to their pastor, that would be a way to go.
Well, Philip, I just want to thank you so much. If our listeners could see, Philip has actually been en route and is joining us from a park where there is water in the background. I thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you also for all of the wisdom you've shared across the years with these programs.
You are welcome. It's my pleasure to be able to share, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us for this conversation about clergy renewal. Support for our podcast series comes from Lilly Endowment Incorporated. Our producers are Jessica Mesman and Cassidy Hall, and our theme music is composed by Father Joel David Weir. If you'd like to find out more about clergy renewal, please check out our website at www.lillyclergyrenewal.org, and we look forward to hearing from you.